Dark Redeemer says the music was loud, but everything else was good. So let's try it again because I just adjusted it. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 137 for Thursday, the 10th of August, 2017. This is a show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek, except this week you don't have guests, so Kent, you're my guest this week. How you doing?
I'm really glad the week is almost over.
I agree. I don't know what else you want me to say to that. I just, week...
You know, we all love our IT guys, right? I mean, you kind of need them, right? I mean, sure, but sometimes sure, they're just douchebags. You're like, I don't know, I could do your fucking job, dumbass, you know?
Right. I could do it at least as good as you do.
Yeah. Well, man, my IT guy at work has been on leave for the last 2 weeks.
Oh.
And holy crap.
How's that doing for you?
No, not so good.
Yeah? So are you touching your fingers and... to your tongue to wet them out and then kind of touching stuff inside just randomly hoping it'll work? Because I think that's the point where you know something went wrong.
Oh, jeez, man. It's so bad, dude. Like, for 2 weeks now, I've kind of been like IT isn't here. I guess somebody's got to do it, so I got to go do the thing. And this dude apparently does so much shit. I barely have time to do my own stuff. And the last 2 weeks have been a couple of the busiest weeks as far as like things going on in the office. And to not have the IT guy, oh boy, it's been a trying time. How's your week been?
Very busy. So the guy that I replaced left. He's gone, which means that now there's no crutch there anymore. And so nothing against the guy. He handled his business very well, but he did it all himself. So that means, that's right. All of the trailing or all the tracking on everything that was going on is all in his email. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in a public place where I can access it. So I'm basically having to redo a lot of stuff and rebuild products and rebuild packages and everything else. And
yep.
I would say it's my favorite thing, but it's not. It's not.
I totally get that. Every time I take a new job, that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, a little bit annoying, but overall, not too bad. Now, Amber and Ashley left last week. That's why I couldn't be on the show. I had to take them to the airport. So I tried to time it so they would stay here as long as possible and then go back the day the registration started. So they'd be there for school registration. Well, we missed it by one day and I missed the podcast. So yeah, kind of a double on that, but whatever. There was no way of telling until they'd release the schedule, which they didn't do until they were here. But me and Ashley the first day and then me and Amber the next day, we went on our like a little adventure, like a daddy daughter date, right? Me and Ashley, we went out, we had a good time. We did a little shopping. We had lunch and, you know, this and that. And then we came home. No big deal. I actually had a phone call that night, about something we're going to talk about later. And the next day I took Amber out. Now, she wanted Taco Bell breakfast. We went and ate Taco Bell breakfast, and we went to the gun range and fired some guns for a little while and had some fun out there blowing rocks into smaller rocks because that's how white people, rich people do it. And that was a lot of fun. We left there, and we just kind of goofed around all day. A couple things of interest, though, for the rest of that day. One, we found a comic book store. It's been here for 2.5 years. It's the second one. The first one has been here for 30 years, and I hadn't heard about it until that day. Never heard about it at all. This place is amazing.
So it's got like a couple racks of comics, I guess?
A couple per square foot. It's got, you know the comic book stores we used to go to? Like they had this huge comic book store, and it's like all back catalog and like one tiny little row of new shit. Like, oh, this is what happened. This came in this week. Everything else was blah, 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 blah.
Right, yeah.
No, this place was like getting generous copies of every comic I've ever heard of. Like, it was insane. And they had a back room. So if it didn't have room on the shelf or a specialty item, whatever else, they had like a little back room that they could go into and pull like onesie twosies out. Like it was awesome. Manga, they had an entire wall of manga, like this wall. It was great. It was awesome. Amber loved it. I haven't taken the other kids. I think I'm going to take them Saturday morning, actually. And yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That's pretty sweet, man. I wish I had a comic book store here. Even one with just a couple racks would be a welcome thing.
This was a pretty good sized store. It wasn't like a Walmart or anything, but it was a pretty good sized store. And then it had two rooms off the side of it. One room was a sports memorabilia room, like you know, you get your sports cards and all that kind of stuff. Your signed baseballs by Hank Williams Jr. or whoever the hell signs baseballs. I don't know, because baseball's dumb. The next room over was a game room. It had everything from Munchkin to Dungeons and Dragons to Firefly to a bunch of card games I'd never heard of, dice games. It had every Catan that was ever imagined.
Just games for sale or the like a space where people can play?
Well, I haven't got there yet. So that was and they had magic. They have magic tournaments three times a week there. Oh, wow. Did I mention that they have a game room where you can actually go and play the games, and they have a set schedule. So it's a 7-day schedule. Like Sundays is free day. Like you can go in there and play whatever you want. Then every other day of the week has two categories that you can play in. So Magic is there like Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday or something like that.
It's got to be Friday because Friday Night Magic is nationwide.
I haven't played Magic in a decade, so I couldn't tell you. But it was nuts. It was great. And the prices for being in Alaska, the prices weren't too bad. I mean, you know, all the comics were being sold for cover price, of course. But as far as like the collectibles and they've got the racks of vintage video games in the back. Vintage meaning like NES and Genesis, that kind of stuff in the back. And it was really cool. The only thing they didn't have was a place to play them. You know, like drop a quarter and play that shit. But believe it or not, finding an amazing comic book store in Anchorage after being here for over a year isn't the best part of that day.
Wow, okay. I think that'd make my day if I found a store like that.
It would have had we not just prior to that gone to a used bookstore.
Okay.
This is one of those little corner marts. It's one of those little strip malls. You just got racks and books, and they're kind of organized somewhat. I found some Dragonlance books after probably 30 minutes of searching. Amber found one book she was going to buy. Some psychology book. She enjoys that shit. Okay, cool. We go to buy it, and as we're waiting, well, first of all, we're browsing the aisles, and we're ready to check out, but the lady's on the phone. She's on the phone. She's on, you know, like old style held phone, like the... You know, like the ones where you hate 1-800 numbers, you know, because you got to like keep going around.
Oh, right.
Rotary.
74?
Maybe. I mean, she might have been McDonald's vagina lady's younger sister. Like it was. So
this reminds my grandma is when she excuse me, when she upgraded to a push button phone from rotary phone. She kept the switch on pulse. So still, when you would push a button, like if you pushed an 8, mm-hmm. She pushed the 8.
Ain't got no time for tones. She's not trying to call a music store. But the fact that the lady's on the phone isn't like the most amazing part. She's actually talking about her medical history with a lady on the phone, and she's trying to obscure everything. So, of course, in my mind, when you're trying to not say what the medical problem is, but you're talking about this family history of it, and you think your dad had it, and he did this, and
start throwing out guesses.
Yeah, and it's always the worst case scenario, like, oh, she's got fucking schizophrenic dementia, right?
It's colon cancer.
Nothing that mundane. At one time, I thought she had an STD. You know, like, especially when she's talking about her dad had it too. I was like, oh, that's got to be it, right? STDs all the way. But she's on the phone for like half an hour. Like we're ready to check out right as she, and before she was on the phone, she was talking to her bird. She had a bird in a cage, a single bird. And every once in a while it would tweet, but all the time that it wasn't tweeting, she would sit there and go, shh, you shut it. You shut it. You keep quiet. You shut it. You shut it. And then she'd stop saying anything. And then the bird would tweet. And she wouldn't like hush the bird as soon as it tweeted. She'd wait like 2 or 3 minutes and then she'd start hushing again. And sometimes a bird would just tweet while she was hushing it and she had changed nothing. Like this lady was out.
Oh my God.
So I mean, I went one way, Amber went another way. We were kind of just hitting the bookstore, you know, because the aisles aren't big enough for either one of us to walk down. Like they're crammed together really tight. So both of us, there's no way. We're trying to check out. The lady finally gets off the phone. As soon as she gets off the phone, me and Amber basically run to her to check out. She starts telling the story. I was like, hey, you know, nice story you got here. And just trying to make small talk. She's like, yeah, we got pushed out over here because we were next door, but then the pot store is going to go next door. And they pushed us over here. Like, oh, whoa. Just want to buy one book. Just one book. Can we do that? As she's going on about how she got pushed out because of the pot store, which is legit. I looked over the little notice to the public is right there on the door saying that it's going to be a pot store and you know, all that.
That was worded pot store.
It's like marijuana distribution point or something like that.
Oh, okay. I was picturing like flower pots or like pottery, like a craft shop.
I mean, it might be eventually. No. It was much better than that. I'm looking around while she's telling this story, and I don't see credit card machine.
Oh, God.
I look at the door. There's no little Visa accepted here.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, oh, she's going to break out one of those big chunk, you know, those. Last time I saw one of those, and the only time I've ever actually used one myself was when we were getting gas and just outside of Memphis. When you and Chris and me and Lisa like split off after doing like Christmas in Indiana or something like that.
Yes.
That was the last time I've ever even seen one. And this is the only time in my life I've personally ever used one, but I expected her to like reach under the counter and grab this big junk, man. I was prepping for it. I was about to tell Amber about it and everything. I was like, oh, watch this. She looks at it, she goes, we're cash only. Wait. Do what?
Would you take some pot?
She's cash only. Okay. Keep that in mind. Remember that. She's selling books at a bookstore and she's cash only.
Yep. Okay.
The total comes out to $7.50. No taxes because we're in Anchorage. There's no sales tax in Anchorage. Okay, cool. Let's go grab an ATM. We'll come back. We'll get the book. We'll be out of here. So I go to ATM. I pull in to the end direction on the drive-up ATM at the same time that this lady walks or pulls out of the bank and goes the wrong way into the ATM so her passenger can use the drive-up ATM. You know what? That's not even a big deal. I'm cool with it, except this parking lot and this drive-thru is really small, so I have to like basically really get in there to where I'm going to have to back up and do some jimmying in to get the back end of my truck off the road. Because, you know, okay, fine. She doesn't pull close enough for her passenger to use the ATM from the car. So she has to get the passenger has to get out of the car to walk to the ATM. It's like a step and a half to she uses the ATM. She gets back in the car and they pull off. And of course, the driver's scowling at me the entire time, even though I've completely moved out of her way. I am zero inconvenience to her at all.
Mm. In fact, you're enabling her.
Right. I'm actually like probably slowing down traffic for her to get out is what's happening. Right. I pull up to the ATM and of course I'm in the truck. So I got like basically climb out of the window to get to the ATM. Cause it's down there for like, you know, I don't know, Centras or some shit. And, Dark Redeemer would love this one because it was really low to the ground, like his car. I say that because he was nice enough to drive me around South by. Like it was amazing. I was very thankful. But every time I got into or out of that car, I was like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna die! Like my knee is just gonna pop right out of socket. I'm dying right here." we pull up. I'm reaching down getting the cash, and she left her receipt in there. She pulled out $20. She had $3 or something like that left in her account. Okay. Did you need to stop by the ATM to pull out your last 20 bucks? Okay, whatever. Fine. More power to you. Not everybody has a bunch of money in the bank. I get it. I pull out the 20 bucks. as I'm pulling out this $20, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get back more in change than this lady has in her account. I'm kind of feeling bad at this point. Like I'm the fucking WPR guy. Like I'm, you know, fuck on me. Right. So that leads into going back to the bookstore. It's two blocks over. We go over, we already know how to get in there because it's kind of, it's a one way road. So you're going to kind of, and there's not like, there's not like a driveway. It's like, you know, road parking lot, you know, it's one of those little deals. It's got a light pole in the way. Like you can't even overshoot it because you'll hit something. It's, and of course yeah. I'm in the truck and it's meant for like, I don't know. It's like a bicycle parking lot because it's just fucking tiny. So I pull in and we hop out the truck. We go back in the store. We go in there and we're like, hello, ma'am. We're back. And she goes, oh, hey. And I was like, we're here to get the book. She was like, what book? There have been no other customers the entire time we're in there. We were gone maybe 8-10 minutes.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember what book. I was like, the blue one right in front of you. She goes, this one? Okay. Like okay.
I think the wrong one.
Yeah, right.
The correct book for you.
We forgot the wrong, or we're remembering the wrong book. That's what's happening. So she has to look inside the book again at the price. The price remained the same. It's still a pencil written $7.50 for this for this 1943 psychology book or whatever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. Cool. Cool, cool. She's forgetful. I get it. She's old. She's forgetful. She's probably about ready to talk to the same lady she just talked to. So she goes, okay, that'll be $7.50. I'm like, great. Got you covered. I pull out, bam, a crisp $20 bill.
Uh-huh.
I hand her the 20. Can you guess what her next words were to me?
Do you have exact change?
Close. She says, oh, geez. I don't know if I can change this out.
Bravo, old lady. Bravo.
And the best part about it in my mind, she's standing in front of this old style, like, you know, the big number things, cash register. Like it's not a digital cash register. It's like chi-junk, chi-junk, right? This is the episode where I make all the noises. So she didn't use the cash register at all. She reaches down into her purse and starts stealing out change out of her purse. I'm not making this up. I have a witness. She's literally like digging. She's like, where are the quarters at? Like,
a witness.
I'm like, you're in a bookstore selling books for under $10 and you don't have change for a 20. Like, should we go find $12.50 of books? Eventually she found it. Eventually she dug like the very bottom of her purse. She had like this wad of cash. Like she was hiding it there. It was just ones. And like, so my change was literally a $5 bill, seven $1 bills, even though she had tens, couldn't do that. So $5 bill, seven $1 bills, two dimes, a nickel, and a quarter. Ugh. So after going through all of that, the comic store was a little washed out.
And what the hell? You know, those those old style credit card things where you like you imprint the card.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, the first time I'd ever seen a credit card being used, I was probably like 6 years old or something like that. And my dad was using like a Sears card or some crap. And they used that ka-chunk. I thought that the numbers imprinted on the card were somehow like a code that like had your balance. Like I didn't understand the concept of credit. Like I thought of it more of as like a debit card.
Oh, yeah.
Had money in there. And I thought the numbers on it were like a code that indicated what your balance was. And when they did that thing on the machine, it changed the numbers on the card. That's what I thought was happening.
Wow. No, that would have been great.
Yeah. So it took me a while to figure out like how all of this crap worked.
So the only time I've ever used it was the one in Memphis. And I say that I used it, not that I just handed my card over. The attendant was this old man who couldn't get it to slide right. So he actually handed it to me. I don't know if you remember. He handed it to me. He said, here, can you get it to go? And I physically chunked my own card for gas. So that was Amber's last adventure in Alaska before before he packed up the next day went home. Oh, and then at the airport, they were on the plane for 2.5 hours before they finally took off because the cargo door wouldn't give them the light upstairs, wouldn't give them the sealed light. So me and Rick sat there and we ate dinner, we had a beer, like waiting for them to leave. They wouldn't let them off the plane. It was a full flight. So, you know, it was just completely miserable in there.
God.
Huh?
I hope they at least had the engine running.
No. No, they had the APU on, but the APU doesn't give up enough air for everybody. They didn't have ground power or ground air hooked up. I looked. Like, this is the bad part about being a maintainer. Like, you know what to look for. And you're like, oh, fuck that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really bad. You start noticing, like, missing rivets and things like that.
You're like, there's 10 rivets missing.
You notice an open panel in flight.
I like to freak people out, though, because I'm always nervous on planes. It's like just something that happens, right? My anxiety level starts ramping up. So I like to make other people nervous to make myself feel better.
Probably not the best thing to do in an airplane, dude.
Whatever. So when like you're coming down, the flaps are going down, and you go that sound, you know? I'm like, oh, that's happening again. And then, of course, right after they lower the flaps all the way down, or at least, you know, most of the way down, is when the gear comes out, and that's like, junk, boom! Like, you can, if you're sitting in the middle of the plane, you can actually feel the shake real quick as the gear free fall, right? And when that happens, I grab the seat in front of me. Oh, yeah.
You're next.
I don't have a response to that.
Oh, boy.
What I do to relax on planes. What do you do to relax?
Well, oh my God. No, I was just about to say the funnest thing I did this week was something that's going to help me relax for the rest of the summer and hopefully through the fall. I've been talking about it the last few weeks, building a backyard movie theater. Finally completed that project last night. And I have a fully functioning backyard movie theater now. And of course, we had to test it out, and I grabbed the closest Blu-ray to me, and it happened to be Avatar, the 2009 James Cameron Avatar. And say what you want, or you know, chat can say what they want about the quality of that film, but I tell you what, that movie is gorgeous, and it looked freaking awesome on my makeshift screen. I guess we're using like a. We're using a king size white sheet that we have like on we've got it all hung up all fancy and everything, right. And it looks really nice.
You need to get some bungee cords mounted to it. You get that wrinkle out of there.
Yeah. So what we did, we put some grommets, metal grommets along the top of the sheet, and we have it suspended on hooks, so it's nice and taut. On the top, and then we have an 8-foot pole that's in the bottom, like a wooden pole in the bottom, like kind of sewn into it,
right?
And so it provides weight. It also gives us something like a method of rolling it up when we're done using it, and that works pretty well, except it would have been a lot better if it was a 9-foot pole because it does create these little like irregularities in the tautness. We buy it a little bit, but it's really nice, and I'm really looking forward to breaking it in for real with the party. We were planning to do something this Saturday. We were going to do like bad movie double feature. We were going to watch Troll 2 and The Room, which are arguably two of the worst movies ever made, and it was going to be awesome. And then we checked the weather today, and yeah, it looks like it's going to thunderstorm. So, we might have to postpone.
chat realm says Irregularities in Tautness is my Indigo Girls cover band. I actually watched a movie this last night or the night before last that you recommended that I watched, and I told you how I'd feel about it, and I'm going to tell you the name of the movie, then you tell me what you remember about what I said I would feel about it once I watched it, and then I'm going to tell you how close you are to both what I said I would feel about it and how I actually felt about it.
Okay.
Okay.
What was the movie?
Kong, Skull Island.
Oh, I don't remember even talking to you about this movie.
So, go ahead.
Well, my prediction, because I said that I enjoyed it because it's a monster movie, and I love like kaiju movies. Like they're just, mm-hmm. there's just something about giant monsters. It's awesome. I don't know how I would have predicted you would feel about it. You probably wouldn't be as excited as me. But still, it's like a, I don't know, visual thriller, I guess. I don't know. How did you feel?
I told you I'd hate it.
Okay.
Because I don't like Kong or kaiju. It's not my thing. I figured it was a stupid premise. It was not a whole lot of people in it that I was actually looking forward to other than Samuel L. Jackson. I didn't think I'd care for it at all. We were both wrong.
Okay.
In different ways.
You enjoyed it then?
I enjoyed the beginning. The actual premise of the movie was great. Up until they flew into the storm.
Okay. Up to, sorry, so yeah. 10 minutes into the movie.
That's actually like 30 minutes into the movie. Like this, well, it's a lot of buildup.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
So from them flying into the storm until the final battle, the big final battle. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. From the time they fly into the storm until Kong squashes Samuel L. Jackson's character, I fucking hated it. I hated it. It was awful. That whole period. And this is Samuel L. Jackson's one of my favorite actors, and I fucking hated him in this movie. He did a great job.
Yeah, he was the shittiest person.
Yes, in every way. He was. So I hate movies where there's just that one guy that keeps fucking things up for everybody else.
Yeah,
like, it's like my least favorite thing in the fucking world. Like I get anxiety on how much I hate shit like that, and that's what this movie was for a large part of it. What's the dude's name that was there? The pilot guy that crashed or whatever.
Oh, John C. Reilly.
Yes. Oh my God, such a perfect role for that dude. Holy shit. Like he played, he took a serious situation, added a jovialness to it with just enough seriousness that you kind of like you kept involved with him.
Bit crazy.
Yeah. He's a little off, but he's still there, you know, he's still valuable. And he played that perfectly. But yeah, from the storm to the squash, I was just fucking done with that movie. Hated it. God, I hated it. Overall, I'd give it an even.
Yeah,
I wouldn't watch it again, but like the beginning I would watch again, and then I'd leave when the storm happened and go have a beer, like suck a donkey dick or something like that, and then come back right as Samuel is no longer in the movie. Do what?
This is basically the same. I mean, just one of those.
I mean, I've never done one, so at least I'd be experiencing something new.
Dude, I'll have to treat you to a beer one of these days.
Takes more than one. So,
oh, dude, kaiju movies are perfect for like my backyard theater because it's perfect for, you know, you don't need to watch these movies really. You just need to have them on and something just, you know, interesting right. And to, you know, that catches your eye while you're having a conversation.
It's like the slideshow at a farewell or retirement or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Avatar was a perfect example of that. And I think any of these kaiju movies, King Kong, Skull Island, or Kong, Skull Island, whatever, I think would work very well in that.
Something I did like is how they tied it in to possible other movies.
Yeah.
I'm going to be just as unexcited about those as I was this. But I enjoyed how they tied it in. They kind of, it was like a little bit of an afterthought, but they and they didn't like go into it. They just kind of like, oh yeah, by the way, here you go. Here's a little,
yeah, yeah,
you know, just in case.
It's in the same universe as the Godzilla movie from a couple years ago, and there's gonna be a Godzilla 2, and then there's gonna be Kong versus Godzilla, and all kinds.
So, yeah. Yeah, it works out. Something something I've been meaning to mention, man, and I'm actually gonna bring this up. Okay. We've had a little bit of a snafu in our Patreonism.
Patreonism?
Yeah, sure. I said that right, right?
We'll roll with it. Snafu. What are we looking at here?
We lost a couple patrons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four to be exact. Four. And I want to take this time not to pimp, hey, everybody should go be one of our patrons.
You mean like we normally do.
Right, right. Yeah. I wanna keep it a little different this week. So if you are a patron, I want you to know that we really, really appreciate what you're doing for us. That you're helping us out. You're getting us uncompressed theme music and microphones and stuff like that to just do this better. That's what we're doing. If you had to drop out for whatever reason, there's a couple people that declined, which can be any number of things from actually canceling your card. To maybe the gift card you found in the Walmart parking lot that you used to fire up the patron ran out. You know, it could be any number of things. For whatever reason, we really appreciate what you've done for us. And if you can't come back, we understand completely. That being said, if you've never helped us out on the Patreon, now's a good time. We're down a couple.
Yeah, and actually, I want to piggyback just a little bit on the patrons leaving for whatever reason, please take the exit survey.
Yeah.
Let us know why you're not a patron anymore. We're not going to razz you. We're not going to call you out. And, we're definitely not going to make you feel bad because you did something for us. That was awesome.
Right. Exactly.
But we would love to know, why you left, just so, maybe you couldn't afford it. Maybe it was something that, we're just not doing right. And, we can improve on it. So,
yep.
So yeah, hook us up with those. So, awesome, man. For those that don't know, it's patreon.com/ritualmisery.
Yeah. That's what I should be doing while you're talking. I should be copying and pasting shit in the in the chat room.
Thanks, Wabbit. He says we suck anyway.
But we're good at it though. I mean,
we're good at it. Yeah, exactly what I was gonna say. I got one word for you.
Okay,
Dracarys.
Oh my God! So we haven't talked about Game of Thrones in 2 weeks. Do what?
You almost said Dragonlance.
Look, man, don't fuck with me right now. I'm talking about the Thrones.
The Throne Game. We're talking about the Throne Game.
It's been 2 weeks since we talked about it. There's the big HBO hack. I don't want to get into that because it's so involved and it's not really nerdy or techie. It's kind of just a bunch of people being dicks and trying to ruin shit for everybody else. So, I don't even know what to say for the last 2 weeks of Game of Thrones, except holy shit.
I basically only have two things to say. One, Olenna Tyrell.
Oh, we haven't talked about that yet, have we?
I spoke about that last week.
Yeah.
Solo. Wow, what an amazing scene. What an amazing actress, amazing character. She's perfect, and I absolutely love her. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who is not caught up.
Right, unlike Kong.
Right, yeah. I think Samuel L. Jackson dies in at least half the movies he's in.
And rightfully so.
Right. Well, he's in like 120 movies a year.
Yeah.
No, but then the other thing that I want to say about Game of Thrones is, oh my God, Drogon. Oh my God. Amazing. Amazing, 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 fucking amazing.
Did you watch After Thrones?
No.
The afters, the little thing they do after the HBO.
If you it's like 5 minutes of yeah.
Except this one was like 10 minutes, and then they had a breakdown specifically of the battle that was like 15 minutes long. The stuff they're doing for this show is completely amazing. It's literally record breaking. If you're to believe what they said,
More fire than has ever been filmed for one scene or something like that.
More stuntmen on fire than ever. They were at 20. The previous record was like 16. Then they even showed like the scene where they did it, and then they counted like 1, 2, 3, 4, and at 10 they're like, okay, put them out, and like everybody rushed in from around him, put everybody out, and they're doing such amazing stuff for this season. And this one is actually short. It was like only 48 minutes or whatever, and it like you couldn't tell, like it was nonstop. And okay, so that scene was amazing, but I have to bring it to my girl. Oh my God, Arya! Holy shit! When
she didn't do a lot this episode.
She did, but it was only one scene essentially.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're talking about the fight. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
with Brienne.
Yes,
gotcha.
You're the karate guy. What was the hell?
The display of badassery.
Oh my God! The complete. And at the end, she's sitting there and she's got this huge smile on her face, and she's just like, "Oh my God!" Like, and then Sansa's looking on, going, "Oh, that's not the same sister."
Well, I saw a meme. It said it had a picture of Sansa, and it says that face when you realize you're the only sibling without superpowers.
Yeah, the only one left anyway, yeah. Because Bran's seeing shit, John can't die, and now Arya is like swordswoman extraordinaire. More importantly, though, if you want to talk about looks, more importantly, that look on Littlefinger's face.
Yeah, this is like, oh, fuck.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Something, and just so good. And then when...
Speaking of Littlefinger, so something subtle. I'm sorry for non Game of Thrones people. We're really geeking out here, but so Littlefinger, being the fucking slimy snake that he is, he was trying to be normal asshole Littlefinger to Bran,
mm-hmm.
or the Three-Eyed Crow.
Yeah,
and Bran, not buying any of his bullshit, quotes Littlefinger back to him from like season 2 or 3 or something like that. Something that he had said, Bran like spit it back to him. That was a secret. It was like nobody knew that he was saying this. And chaos is a ladder. Exactly. And when Bran said that, Littlefinger was just like, oh fuck. Okay. Well, I'll go now.
Yeah.
It was so crazy.
Cause that scene was right after he had just seen Arya, right?
I don't remember if it's before or after.
I think it was right after. No, it was well before.
Oh, it was before. It was
well before, yeah, because the dagger.
That dagger, too.
Yeah. And then he immediately is like, oh, it's no use to a cripple. And oh, shit.
Amazing.
Over, just everything about these shows, man. Every episode, like I said before, it's just so on point.
Yeah. Oh, and how about the cave scene?
Oh, the crypts. Oh yeah. No! You're talking about under Dragonstone.
Yes, under Dragonstone.
The tension so between those two is so palpable.
All I was thinking was, I remember the last time John was in a cave.
the only other time John's been in a cave. both ways, double entendre on that one. Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. It's really good, really good. So I don't want to give any more away than we may already have. So there's that.
Yeah. Let's move on. This Game of Thrones. So what else you got, man? Okay.
I told you I got stories this week. Treadmill fingers. You know what those are? treadmill fingers are when the treadmill's going and then you get your hand stuck underneath it and the treadmill peels away your skin. That happened in this house. to the youngest member in the house, the 2-year-old, my niece. David was supposed to be watching her, and he was on the treadmill, and he was messing around with Autumn. All of this wasn't supposed to be happening. And Evelyn decided she wanted to see what was underneath. I think she was trying to reach underneath it to pick it up to close it so that they couldn't play on it anymore because they were ignoring her. That's completely my own conjecture. And she got her finger caught under there, and these two fingers shaved almost all the way down to the bone.
Holy shit.
Yep. So that was awesome. That's been that pretty much ruined all of last weekend. Like, it was basically just hanging out, making sure she wasn't getting hurt or anything else. Really crazy. So yeah, I mean,
well, that sucks. Speedy recovery to her.
Yeah, they said it shouldn't take long because the fingers are very resilient and it didn't do any permanent damage. I'm starting to think, man, she's gonna have different fingerprints now, at least.
That's what I was gonna say.
I saw Men in Black.
I was gonna say, is she even gonna have fingerprints? Is she gonna be a master thief now?
I don't know. We'll find out. Only she uses these two fingers, which might have been what she said.
oh my God.
Meanwhile, I did spend the weekend, since I couldn't go anywhere or anything else, I did spend the weekend doing some home repair. And it's kind of one of those things, the summer has been here. We've had guests this entire summer. We've had other things going on. I've had my knee surgery and this and that. So I'm starting to really ramp up this home repair, getting ready for winter. And this house is only 5 years old, and holy shit, do you have to maintain a house? This is bullshit. Houses should be easier to maintain. I got doors to rig or jig or whatever. I got a refrigerator how does a refrigerator just suddenly not be balanced anymore? Hey, I'm fine. Then the next day, I'm gimp.
Your house is settling.
It's, oh my God.
Floor soon.
But I did get the, especially the way people walk in this house, everybody in this house is a heel walker except for me. So I walk around just normal. I walk on the twinkle balls of my toe. Yeah.
Twinkle.
So I walk around and nobody can even hear me coming. I'm gimping along with the jacked up knee and nobody can hear shit. Everyone else though, I'm two floors below them, boom, 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 boom. Oh, somebody just went into the bathroom upstairs, upstairs, you know? So yeah, there's that. But I did get the entire yard mowed and the grass is starting to grow. We got a lot of sun, rain, sun, rain, sun, rain kind of thing. So it's really starting to come through. The winter's going to come along and kill it all. But next spring, fresh canvas to do what we need to do with. So that'll be interesting until my wife finally gets tired of not having a flat yard and wants to spend $15,000, renovating the whole backyard instead of, I don't know, $5,000 renovating in the inside, but whatever. that's that. And then just a couple more things. And these are work related. So if you don't like hearing about bullshit at work, feel free to tune out for the next few minutes. We have a Form 43. The Form 43 allows us access to a certain program. That certain program, we have three people assigned to it. One of them is a civilian. One of them is my coworker, also my subordinate, and then myself. Well, the form requires the primary person's supervisor to sign off on it. The primary person is the civilian. The civilian's supervisor is me. So this form got kicked back after being routed around for 2 weeks, got kicked back because it needed the primary person's supervisor to sign again, because it goes the civilian, my coworker / subordinate, then me, and then me again as the civilian supervisor.
So it's a closed circle that you can't escape. Got it.
But it took 2 weeks for them to get it done. They couldn't figure out why it wasn't signed. It was because I've already signed it. And that's what they would say. They would call me and say, hey, we need you to sign this form. I've already signed it. Look in block 14. It's right there. I've already signed it. And the bad part is, on the front of the form is the primary person, the alternate person. Additional alternates go on the back side of the form. So they actually had to flip it over, flip over the form to see where I signed it. But they wanted me to sign the front. They weren't being descriptive. I wasn't asking because I didn't know to ask.
We have forms like that at my work too, where the same person has to sign in multiple places because they're multiple roles. And it can get really? I already signed the damn thing.
Yeah. There are some a 22. Somebody wants to submit a 22 and change a TO or change a whatever, and they want to make it better.
Yeah.
Depending on where it's going, it needs different signatures. Yes. So if I send it up to headquarters Air Force, it only needs my signature. They trust me as in my position. Here you go. It just needs mine. If I send it to one level above my base, I have to sign. I sign it. I send it to my coworker, my subordinate. She signs it, and then she sends it back to me. I sign it again, and then it goes up. Now, if I don't sign it the second time, it's coming back.
Yeah.
It needs three signatures, and you can't have two in a row. It's God fucking
right. Yep. Oh God. You got to love bureaucratic red tape. It's the best.
And we're more efficient now than we ever have been. Right. No.
Oh, you mean the paperless Air Force?
Mm.
Really? What's happening is we make electronic versions of all of the paper stuff that we are still doing.
Right. And then we add, since it's so easy to route, since we just have to email it, we just add routing to it, more and more routing.
Yes.
So used to be able to get away with only two people seeing it. Now 15 people have to see it, and it's supposed to take less time because it's electronic. No.
Right. Yeah. The electronic, what is it called? The ESSS. What is that?
Electronic staff summary sheet.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That requires like 12 signatures on a thing that you would just sign it.
You would hand it to Jim and he would sign it and you'd be done. And now it's gotta get routed through 13 people. So one more thing real quick. I posted earlier today. We went to a change of command ceremony. My group changed commands. We went from one commander to another commander. I don't know how to explain this to anybody that's not in the military, except your division boss. Like you're in the retail division of Sears, and that boss changes hands, and everybody has to go there.
It's just like report. Instead of reporting to this boss, now your department reports to this boss.
Yeah, this guy moved over to that department, and now you got a new dude in there, or chick. Yep. It was supposed to be an outdoor ceremony. It rained today, so we went indoors. I'm sitting there, and I had to go and get my hat because we were emulating an outdoor ceremony.
Yes.
Indoors.
Yes. That's my favorite. That's my favorite, especially when you're on the flat line. Did this take place on the flat line? Yeah. And hats are not allowed on the flat line.
No.
We know this.
Yeah.
So you leave your hat at whatever office that you have when you go to the flight line. So you get to the hangar. Oh, hey, this is an outdoor ceremony. You need your hat. Well, motherfucker, half of the people are going to get up to go get their hats because that's important. It's real important. And it's lots of fun to have your hat.
I'm sure there's a reason that it was an outdoor ceremony, even though it was indoors. I'm sure there's like some difference in protocol or something.
Change of command ceremonies. Let's go with that.
Sure.
Change of command ceremonies tend to be outdoor ceremonies. Most of the ones that I've been to, even though it's in a hangar or something like that, everyone's got their hats on.
Right. And I'm sure there's a difference between indoor ceremony and outdoor ceremony. I'm sure there's a difference in the calls or who has to salute, or they want everybody to salute instead of putting their hand over their heart for the national anthem or whatever they feel like.
Yep.
I don't care.
I think that's exactly. I think it's the saluting of the flag. That's probably the difference. But hey, hats are fun and they're important.
Hats are dumb.
You can ask my core. Actually, the aforementioned IT guy, you can ask him about how I feel about hats in the Air Force or in the military in general.
What a bunch of superstitious bullshit. That's all I'm going to say.
It is the worst.
I agree that it looks better if you're in uniform, if you're in formation, and everybody's got their hat on. I understand it just it just for everyday stuff. Like, stop it.
Yeah, man. I tell you, it's so much better to be retired because I'm still with.
Oh my God, 18 months
in mission and doing things that I think matter. But I don't have to do any of that bullshit. I don't even remember the last time I wore a hat of any sort.
18 months or 20 months or whatever it is, and I will be wearing jeans or underwear, but not both, to whatever my next job is.
I want the job where it's just underwear. Like, how do I get that?
It's what we're doing right now.
Right. But, we'd have to get paid.
Look, man, there's other ways. Okay, so my last story for the night, and then we'll go on to something else. I know I need to approach this with some sort of
decorum. Tact?
There is an individual at work who works in very close proximity to me, who I will not name, but they are in the middle of breastfeeding, and while at work, they do either the pump and dump or pump and store. I'm not sure. I don't care. And honestly, I'm not there for it because I leave my office every time twice a day so they can do that.
Oh, you don't have there's like not a designated place or like a...
We're in maintenance and the Air Force hasn't figured that shit out yet.
Oh, they do here. And there's like actually an abundance of those rooms here. And it actually pisses people off that there's unused office space because it's designated as a pump room.
No, the unused office space is my office. Now, my thing is, the reason why women have couches in their bathrooms is so that they can go and do that there. But then there's always the, well, I don't want to do it in a bathroom. That's disgusting. I'm not going to eat in there.
Sure. E-
clean it. You're the only ones going in there. There ain't a bunch of dudes going in there and be like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to piss in here. But all over the walls. Like, nobody's doing that shit. Like, yeah. It's... Yeah.
Well, I mean, I get it. I get it. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it is true that your kitchen is way filthier than your bathroom in most cases.
Right.
Maybe not a gas station bathroom, but
either way, if you're doing things in, like, unless you're rubbing the bottles on the walls, like, it's not going to be an unsanitary, you know, tell me you've never breastfed your baby while someone farted in the room. That's the same thing that's going on, you know. It's like, it's like, oh my God, you farted. I can't breastfeed in here anymore. I got to go somewhere else. Here's the thing though. Here's my big issue with it. The individual wants privacy. I get it. But we are never going to get rid of this stupid idea that breastfeeding has to be a shameful private experience until it's no longer a shameful private experience.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, you can't, like, it's not on her to change that, though.
No, it's on everybody.
Well, sure, but
it's, I mean, how do you everybody.
How do you go from now to that?
That's part of the problem. And that's why my issue isn't with the individual. That's why I don't want to call the individual out. It's a societal thing that it just pisses me off.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why are we so ashamed and afraid of such a natural thing? Like,
I think a lot of it is the 20th century.
The sexualization of women?
Well, I mean, that's nothing new. That's
right. Been around
for a very long time. No, I just, like, I don't think 150 years ago that anyone even gave a fuck about breastfeeding. I mean, it's just what you did. That's how you feed your baby.
Right.
You know? Or even let's say 100 years ago, it was probably exactly the same, where nobody even gave it a thought. But when we start to automate things, when we start to, what's the word I'm looking for? God damn it. You know, when you get old and your vocabulary just fails you at the worst times, now is one of those times.
Have you seen the show?
no, but like when we want to, I keep wanting to say socialize, and that's not the, like, domesticate, I guess, like remove ourselves from the animals, you know,
so right.
Processes that, like, fancify us, and I have the perfect word, but it's completely gone from my vocabulary now. But yeah, like, the 20th century was big on doing that kind of shit, and it sensitized us to a lot of shit that we basically just made up shit to be sensitive about, and that was one of the things. And it's going to take us a while to get back to basically deprogramming ourselves. Like, we're probably, like, the oldest generation that even gives a fuck about that. Anyone older than us is like, oh, why would you want to do that? Like, they're too programmed.
Right.
So they're all going to have to die off. We're going to have to die off. And it's going to be like our kids that they're going to see it change. Hmm. That's my guess.
I mean, if certain world leaders have it their way, we'll all restart the whole planet very soon anyway. It's about time we did this, isn't it? This week's TED Talk
wasn't a TED Talk.
It isn't. It's not a TED Talk.
So 99% invisible, which is it's not even video. It's only audio form. Mm-hmm. It is a podcast. Roman Mars.
Well, okay. So if you're knowledgeable of TED Talks, you'll know Roman Mars because he did one on flags on vexillology. Very famous one. It's really awesome. He is the lead producer for 99% Invisible. In fact, it's his voice that kind of binds the whole show together, and he's got an amazing voice. If you've never heard it, it's in my mind, it's like the ideal radio voice. It's ridiculously it's smooth and it's milky, it's creamy, it's
it's delicious.
Episode 270 of 99% Invisible is called The Stethoscope. And yeah. I wanted to share this one with Kent because I found I this is one of my normal podcasts. I love this podcast, but this one it struck me a little bit differently in how it was presented. I figured Kent might actually enjoy it.
Well, and you know, to me it seemed like a typical 99% Invisible. And it's not that like I don't listen to it because I don't like it. I actually really like this show. And the thing about it is the whole idea, 99% Invisible, it's about the effort that goes into things that no one thinks about.
Right.
It's like invisible processes behind shit that you know about or you think you know about. And in this case, he was talking about stethoscopes. Like, of course, like everybody knows about a stethoscope. It's the thing that the doctor uses. But mm-hmm. How did it become what it is, and why do they use it, and do they still use it? Do they still need to use it? Like, why? And all of that. And, yeah, this was pretty fascinating. He went for about 22 minutes, I think.
Yeah. They're never more than about 20 minutes. It's usually pretty short. It's perfect
for my commute. It was my morning commute mm-hmm. this morning. excuse me. But, yeah, it was fascinating. Told the history, where it came from, the guy in the late 1800s that – Or I'm sorry. 1800s, right?
I believe so. The early 1800s.
Well, anywho, yeah. The guy, long time ago, it came up with this thing, and before stethoscopes, there was no way to see. And I'm putting this in quotes for the audio listener. There's no way to see inside the human body until he came up with stethoscopes. They used to, like, the immediate precursor to that was, what do they call it? Percussing.
Yeah, percussing. Where they,
like, tap on the chest.
Yep.
To, like, you know, try to hear, like, what's going on. But this guy that invented the stethoscope realized that if you have, like a cone-shaped thing that goes into your ear and onto the chest cavity, you know, whether the back or the front of the chest cavity, you can hear in great detail what is happening inside the human body.
This actually caused a paradigm shift in that instead of the symptom being the problem, they started to understand that there were things lying underneath, that the symptom was just that. It was a symptom. It wasn't the thing that you were trying to cure. So
that's why, like take fever, for example. Fever, we know, is a symptom. It's, you know, something. It's an indicator that something else is going wrong with the human body. Where, you know, back then, let's rewind 200 years ago, fever was the disease.
Yep.
That's why we have diseases named like the scarlet fever and things like that.
Yep.
Because they considered it the disease, not a symptom of it.
Yeah. I just thought this was really, really awesome in the way that one person's curiosity and a chance encounter with a obese patient led to this technological marvel in such a small scale that has now had another paradigm shift where now it's basically an accessory of authority as opposed to a genuine, really useful tool. I mean, it's still useful, but it's not as useful as it used to be.
Right, exactly. It's definitely useful for a couple of things. It allows for intimate contact, conversation, encounter. Let's say an intimate encounter, non-sexual, hopefully, but an intimate encounter with your doctor because a lot of a doctor's job is diagnosing, mm-hmm. and they tend to do that behind a desk at a computer. And right. having a doctor, you know, going to a doctor now, a lot of times seems very cold, distant, impersonal. You just kind of feel like, you know, cattle or just a number to them. But using the stethoscope allows the doctor to come out from behind the desk, check you out, talk to you at a closer level, look you in the eye. It feels more, you know, we talk about bedside manner. The stethoscope allows that. It also, I mean, it does give the doctor an immediate, inside view of what's going on in your body. Like if you've got a wheeze or your heartbeat's regular or something like that.
And keep in mind that a really good stethoscope will cost you like $30 or $50. Whereas the next best tool is thousands. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Tens of thousands.
Yeah. There's the gap between a stethoscope and a sonogram is huge.
Yeah. yeah. But really interesting thing to me, because a lot of the first two things that I mentioned seem like kind of obvious, and well, of course. But the thing that was most interesting to me, though, is the one that was unexpected. And that's that a stethoscope is kind of a fashion thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's fashionable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's an accessory of authority. Like you wear it more than you use. Well, doctors wear it more than they use it.
Yeah. So if you do a Google image search, and Roman pointed this out, if you do a Google image search of doctor, you will come up with probably every picture on the front page or close to it is going to be a white man in a white coat wearing a stethoscope.
Pretty like close. Pretty close.
It's integral to the image that we have in our brain of doctor. I think the presence of a stethoscope is definitely more prevalent than white man, but I would say at least on par with the lab coat.
So I'm gonna share this with you right here, and you will be able to see exactly what's going on with it. Yeah, I mean, they're not. Luckily, I mean, you got a cartoon chick, you got a couple Asian or Indian dudes out of the mix. There's a real chick up here. She's right there, the real chick.
Yeah, there's a couple women, yeah, but it's primarily white. But they're all wearing. Well, they're either wearing lab coats or scrubs. And
one of them.
It's about to enter surgery, but all of the rest of them have a stethoscope.
Yeah.
Now, the other interesting thing, like kind of the second part of this, is that if you notice, most of them are wearing it around their neck, as in like the bell on one side and then the earpieces on the other side of the neck. And, you know, that's how we think of it now, where it used to be where they would wear it like this guy, the old guy there, where he wears like the earpiece things around his neck, which is from my childhood. That's what I remember my family doctor doing. That's how he would wear his, kind of like a necktie. What was crazy though is they said that the reason that changed is the TV show ER.
ER, and then followed closely by Scrubs.
Yeah, and then Scrubs after that. The doctors on those two shows wore the stethoscope around their neck in that manner. And that's why doctors started to change. It was kind of like, you know, following the trend, following the, you know, the cool fashion. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that you got more out of this 20 minutes or whatever than you thought you would.
I enjoyed the hell out of it, man. It was great.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where, we like to do TED Talks, but sometimes you got to reach outside the box. Something else will hit you with a little bit of inspiration or just a fun story. Or knowledge in a way that you just didn't expect it. So that was this week's TED Talk.
Yep, awesome, man.
What else we got going on this week, man?
Oh man, we got to reach out to some people, dude. We've got like I don't know, probably half a dozen to a dozen people lined up to be our guests, but we just don't have any of them scheduled. So we need to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're not. Who our guest is next week. I mean, other than that, I think,
and then we do know in 2 weeks In 2 weeks, we have Mark Jelinek.
Ah, yes.
What is it about the weather? Another silky smooth voice, perfect for radio.
Yeah, watchers of this show might recall him from your birthday video. When we had our show during your 40th birthday and I collected videos from people, he was one of the videos. He was the one that filmed himself with lightning, real lightning in the background.
Yeah, perfect timing.
Dude is a weather nerd, and I can't wait to talk to him.
So that'll be in 2 weeks. We're not sure who's going to come on next week. Depending on how this one's reviewed, we might just not have anybody next week. We might just start a new trend of not having guests and saying, fuck it. We'll just wait for them. We'll come online and wait for them to call us. We'll do that.
Right. That's not a bad idea.
The lines are open, by the way. So with all that being said, man, it's been a crazy week. We had another crazy week ahead of us. This week, I am going to be... Webbitt says, you don't need no stinking guest. No, we prefer the ones that smell good. Even though it's Skype, we don't care. We want you to have the confidence of smelling good when you're on the show. So far off the rails. Hey man, it's been awesome. Where can people find you and find stuff and do? Oh, one more thing we haven't mentioned. We didn't mention. Okay. One more thing.
Oh God, is this an Apple? Anyway, never mind. Go.
Oh
go.
God, don't get me started on that. The rumors are wild, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Loving every minute of it.
Undaunted is on the Gunna Geek Network.
Oh my God, that's right. Yes. Congratulations on that. That's really cool. And what struck me, okay, on the way home from work today, I was finishing up this week's episode of Night Attack, and the next thing I had in the queue was your new episode of Undaunted. So I'm driving down the highway, Night Attack finishes up, and then I hear SP's voice, and I was like, wait, did I screw up my queue? Like, what the fuck? So I had to actually look down at my phone, which is illegal in New Mexico, to look at your phone while you're driving. I actually picked it up and looked at it and saw that it was Undaunted. Like, what? Oh, that's right. That's right. He's on Gunna Geek Network now. Okay. It made total sense. But dude, it seriously threw me way off at first.
Yeah, to be on Gunna Geek, you need to do a pre-roll. They also like you to do a post-roll, but they don't have those up, so you got to kind of make those yourself. Just really awesome. It's an awesome group of people, and people like SP and Stephen John Drew and just all those guys over there and gals. They're awesome. Yep. They do a great podcast. Even though I don't, there's a lot of them I just don't listen to because there's three of them just on MCU. Not my deal. Right.
There's Doctor Who podcast, all kinds of stuff, man.
But yeah, it's awesome, and I'm proud to be have been accepted to be part of the network, and hoping to really have some mutual benefit there.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. So, we'll have to get some more of those folks on here as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, now I have an inside line, so we might make that happen. Speaking of inside lines, man, if somebody wants to reach out and contact you, where are they gonna find you at?
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter at @RM_DelNoche. I think lately I've been doing more on Untapped than anything else. So follow me there at Del Noche on Untapped if you're a beer person. In fact, just look up Del Noche on just about any medium, and it's probably me that you'll find. Where are you at, man?
I'm on Twitter at Ethan Kane. You can also find me on Facebook, but it's basically just a reposting of all my tweets. So, just go directly to the source. Go to Twitter, find me on there, hit the old friend button or whatever they call it now, the I want to listen to this guy's tweets button. And you'll see some of my inner thinkings. I'm getting a little bit more on there. It's just been crazy, so I kind of took a little bit of a break from everything. And of course you can find the show at Ritual Misery. You can find everything else that we're doing, all the projects that we're doing, together or by ourselves on ritualmisery.com and, cruise on by there. I got to redesign the page one day, but I just like more time.
Yeah.
So there's all that. I want to give a big shout out to Kevin McLeod. We mentioned earlier that he's got awesome music. We use a lot of it. And he kicks ass. Hopefully we'll get him on the podcast soon too. I just got a confirmation email from him. So making shit happen, man. I stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning every night.
He never responded. I said, you something that I couldn't. He never responded to me.
I spoke his language.
You send them cash. That's why.
I mean, there's that. There's, you know, nothing speaks better than the language of green. And you can find all of our links, everything else, at our website, ritualmisery.com. I cannot get away from that enough. If you want to talk about the episodes themselves, cruise on over to ritualmisery.reddit.com. All of our episodes will feed over there, so you can comment on it. We can see what you thought about it. We can read your jokes or your witty comments. If you really want to make some witty comments, go give us a 5-star shitty review on iTunes. Stop by. We've had some great ones lately. I meant to read one tonight, but we're getting a little long, so we might read that next week. If you want yours read right here on the podcast, cruise on over to iTunes, find us on there, and give us a 5-star shitty review. And the shittier, the better, as long as it's got all 5 of them, the golden little stars in there. That's all iTunes cares about, so we're going to make a joke out of everything else.
Yep.
And while this music plays, any last thoughts? Any last gotchas?
Love you guys. See you next week.
Music's about to turn up. Here's our cue. Stop talking.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.